Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're number three of the Rob Brown Show starts right now, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. It is the Fan Upstate. Texas said, so you don't think umpires have a right to make a living? Well, by God, that's un-American. A lot of ball fans go to the park just to see the umps. Uh-huh. That is literally some people's argument, which is infuriating to say the least. By the way, I looked up the number, Lonzo. 61% of players are surveyed in favor of a challenge system, not full ABS. 47% of fans favor a challenge system compared to 28% of team personnel. That is the overall MLB, including administration. 30% of fans prefer to stick with no tech. 11% of admin and 23% want full ABS. I am shocked by how low the number for full ABS is. I am unshocked by the fact that a majority of players want a challenge system, not full ABS, but a challenge system installed.
I mean, if they do it in a way like basketball does with challenging a foul, I mean,
that's what's getting put into AAA right now.
Yeah,
that's like a coach will have the ability, or a player. Actually, it's even more, because at the plate, a batter, catcher, or pitcher would have the ability to challenge an individual call, but you would only get so many of those challenges. And like in basketball, like in every sport, if you miss one, you lose one. Whereas if you get it right, you would hang on to it. That's the way the AAA ABS challenge system is going to work, and I'm excited to see where it goes. The AAA level is also testing a fully automated strike zone. I suspect that the numbers of approval, disapproval, desire versus do not want will dramatically change once we get the results. And I'm not saying for the better or for the worse, depending on what side of the argument you're on. I'm saying if ABS comes back, the results come back, and they're overwhelmingly positive, then I think that the numbers will go up. If it comes back and players are disappointed by the results, then those numbers will go down. But I do think, like with everything else, you test something before you implement it. I just think, for me, there's been enough testing to prove that this thing works. Let it be.
Except around here, you just update. Well, we thought it would work.
I mean, that's testing. All right, let's get some stories in here. Here's one that's very interesting, not because of the geographic location involved, because it will be the least impactful professional team move if it happens ever, but more about the long-term implications of it. The state of Kansas is not the home of the Kansas City Chiefs and Kansas City Royals. That would be the state of Missouri. Of course, Kansas City, Missouri, is split between the two states. The state border runs through the city. However, the state of Kansas is trying to get them to move just a couple of miles away and make the state of Kansas the home of the Chiefs in the Royals. Bipartisan legislative supermajorities, which are like regular majorities, but they wear a cape, okayed the measure to authorize state bonds to help finance new stadiums and practice facilities for both professional teams, which currently reside on the Kansas side of the 2.3 million metropolitan area, which of course is split by the border with Missouri. Three Super Bowl victories in 5 years have made the Chiefs perhaps the most celebrated asset of Kansas City. And now the state of Kansas says, hey, why don't y'all move across town? Why don't y'all come right on over here? You can stay in the same city. You'll keep the same fan base. You don't even have to change your name. You will still be the Kansas City Chiefs and the Kansas City Royals, but you'll be on our side. The plan comes from a Republican-controlled legislator and goes next to Democratic Governor Laura Kelly. She stopped short of promising to sign the legislation, but did say in a statement that, quote, Kansas now has the opportunity to become a professional sports powerhouse. Of course, the Chiefs and the Royals said they look forward to considering the option put on the table by the state of Kansas. Yada, yada, yada. Why is this important?
I am predicting bipartisan support on this effort.
You already have it as a bipartisan supermajority. Is already in. I can't say super without saying it that way. Wrestling has either ruined me or made my life
better. No, man, you go back to the cereal thing. You're doing Cookie Crisp, but you're using the word super.
No, that's how old what's his face used to introduce Edge, man. The rated R superstar.
Who, Finkel?
Yes, that's okay. Who it was. That's where that comes from. Anyway. A spokesperson for Missouri, Governor Mike Parson, did not respond to an email seeking comment from ESPN, but Kansas City, Missouri Mayor, I don't know why I do that either, Mayor Quentin Lucas promised to lay out a good offer to keep both teams in town. He said today was largely, in my opinion, about leverage, and the teams are in an exceptional leverage position, end quote. Here's why this is interesting.
This is the only place this could happen.
It is. There. Well, not...
As far as pro teams are situated.
No, it could technically happen if the state of New York wanted to get the Jets and the Giants out of New Jersey, as they should be called, the New Jersey Jets and the New Jersey Giants.
It's not the same thing.
I mean, it is. They could get them. And
they already have that name. I mean, well, I guess Kansas City is not... No, I get it. A border war could, you know... ensue out of this.
I vote we settle this by combat. I vote we settle the Kansas City, Kansas side takes on the Kansas City, Missouri side in an all-out citywide. But you don't even have to change the venue. You just do it in the city. Urban warfare style. Last man standing gets the teams. It's like a custody of Dominic match between the two sides of a city.
Okay, but do the Chiefs have to abstain from fighting? Because, I mean, because they're the prize.
Yeah, I mean, listen, wherever they go, they're getting a brand new stadium. That's what, okay, all right, jokes aside.
If they go to Kansas City, Kansas, they'll get a new stadium. I don't know that they're going to get one in Missouri.
So this is why it is interesting, because especially with all that's going around David Tepper and the Carolina Panthers right now, which we're going to come to some audio from Cam Newton here in just mere moments. Don't worry. I triple checked it.
Yeah, I know. I was in there and I'm still uncomfortable. I heard you doing some of it.
I nailed it.
Okay.
I nailed it.
All right.
I got extreme confidence
in myself. Hopefully you didn't nail both of us.
I have Joe Hendry levels of confidence in myself right now.
All right. I believe in you.
I believe in Rob Brown today. Okay? So, here's why this is interesting. Because right now, the belief is that the or else clause is beginning to gain some momentum in Dave Tepper's give me my free money or else thought process. Now, Tepp has not said that yet. They have kind of danced around with some very gentle phrases insinuating the fact that the Panthers could leave if Charlotte does not assist in the upgrade to the stadiums and the upgrade to the facilities in Charlotte, North Carolina. What you are seeing now is that despite the fact that there are some very large municipalities that are taking place around the country saying we are not giving billionaire owners free money with which to invest in their own team. If you have $1 billion coming off of $500 million should be on you, not us. Of course, shockingly, I know the owners don't see it that way. Billionaires don't become billionaires because of generosity. Of course, they become billionaires by squeezing as much money out of other places as they can for everything that they want to happen anyway. So, while this is happening, what it shows is that while there are municipalities around the country that are beginning to tell owners, no, you're not getting that free money, there are municipalities that still very much will and still very much will hand over that money. And it is not a polarizing topic, or at least not a largely polarizing topic politically. It is not something like there are many topics in this country today that you can draw a line in the sand and say, if you feel this way about a topic, there's a very good chance you're a conservative. And if you feel this way about a topic, there's a very good chance that you are a liberal. It doesn't seem to be that way, or at least it's not that way right now in Kansas City, because this is a Kansas City legislative body that is primarily Republican, but is still supporting it with Democrats on board. And while she is, again, not guaranteed to sign the bill, a Democratic governor that is heavily insinuated that she would. She's saying this is an opportunity for Kansas City and the state of Kansas to begin to benefit by having not just one, but two professional sports teams in town. I got to tell you, ain't nobody waking up happier this morning than the owners of the Chiefs and the Royals. Because they have now got two states battling over them. One state that's saying, yo, we will give you the stadium and the upgrades that you were looking for. And another state that is saying, yo, not yet, but like we're working on a plan. We're trying to come up with a plan. We're trying to get you a plan that will work. And no matter who wins that battle royale of a pair of states that both own half of the city, if the teams are required to move, the athletes that play for them will not have to find new apartments, right? You're looking at what's happening down in Arizona right now. The Coyotes are no mas. They are moving. They are headed to Utah, where they will play 1 year under the banner of the Utah Hockey Club. All the players found out right after the season was over that they got to find a new place to live. They got to move to Salt Lake City, Utah. The Coyotes are in trouble right now because they just laid off all their staff and offered them the severance of one paycheck. One paycheck. The owner just made north of $1 billion, and he is offering his staff one paycheck worth of severance after firing them unceremoniously. We'll talk about that later on in the show. But if you're the Kansas City Royals, if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, you're in good shape. You don't have to fire your staff. You don't have to move anybody. You don't have to ask the players to upend their lives to go to a new city. No, no. You just got to drive another 10 minutes across the state line to go work over there. If this happens, you're real happy if you're the owner of the Chiefs or if you are the owner of the Kansas City Royals. Why I find this interesting is because when a guy like Dave Tepper says, hey, Batista style, give me what I want, if cities and states begin to say no to the owners of these clubs, we now know for a fact that there are other cities and states that will say yes. There are other cities and states that will say, absolutely, come on down, and can get by partisan support to do it. There was some thought, not by me, I've seen the argument by editorialists in the past, that one political party was less likely to say yes to handing out free money to billionaires to move their team or to buy their team a new stadium instead of having the owners do it, and another party that might be more likely to do so. But now it turns out that's not necessarily the case. Now it appears that these teams are very likely, or these states are very likely, at least some of them, to say, yeah, you know what? We feel like there's enough of an economic boon in having a team move to where we are to make this happen. So now all of a sudden, when we reported initially, or I guess analyzed initially, that the Chiefs and the Royals were in discussions with potentially moving their teams out of Kansas City because they weren't going to get the stadium upgrades that they wanted to, now it turns out that they are now standing on the highest platform because they got a pair of states fighting over them at this point, Kansas and Missouri, and they don't have to go anywhere if it happens. I am intrigued because my thought used to be, yeah, Tep can threaten all he wants to move the Cats if he doesn't get his $600+ million to renovate the stadium for sure. Who is going to take him? Initially, I thought London. London would take them. London wants a team. The NFL wants a team in London. I had been thinking for a very long time it would be the Jaguars of Jacksonville. But Jacksonville and the state of Florida just gave the Jaguars everything Shad Khan wanted to upgrade the stadium to keep them. They're not going anywhere now. They're locked down. The ruse of playing extra games in London to threaten the city with leaving, it worked. They got what they wanted now. I don't know that London wouldn't be willing to. I don't know that another city wouldn't look at this. Right? And again, to kind of put on display what I mean here, the Oakland Athletics are leaving Oakland. They are going to Vegas. That is locked in. But you will remember, it wasn't but a couple of weeks ago that the mayor of Las Vegas quietly told the A's, probably best if y'all stay where you are, right? Like, coming up with the funding and coming up with the resources we need to build you a stadium, it's not going to be easy, and we don't know how you're going to play here. It might be better for y'all to just stay where you at. Now, they're not going to, because John Fisher is such a turd that he'll finance that thing himself because he knows he's going to make that back in buckets when he moves to Vegas and then immediately sells the baseball team to the highest bidder. But I think that even if Vegas says meh to a baseball team, I think they're saying it more about the franchise than they are about having sports there. That's why the Aces are there. That's why the Raiders are there. And hell, if the Oakland Raiders weren't safe in Southern Cal, why in the hell would you think the Carolina Panthers are? If the Kansas City Chiefs would they? Question mark. I don't know. Are they going to pretend to for the sake of getting what they want? Yes. If the Kansas City Chiefs are willing to leave one of, if not the NFL's most iconic home field advantage in Arrowhead Stadium, to move a few miles away to get what they want, do you think the Carolina Panthers are safe in Charlotte? No. No, they're not. This is a big time story. I know it doesn't really feel that way. It kind of feels like a washover. Rob Brown, who the hell cares about whether the Chiefs move from one side of Kansas City, Kansas, to the other side of Kansas City, Missouri? Who cares? But the answer is, if you're a Panthers fan and you want this team to stay here, you should, because it proves that there is bipartisan support to give teams what they want financially in order to get the impact that they have by having people travel to come there. I think it matters. Shane says, let's go. I didn't know that. Hashtag Duval. Just so we're clear, that's not like an official report. That's my analysis of the situation. Shad Khan hasn't said, oh, we're not looking at it. He never said we are moving to London, but he never said we aren't. Just like he now hasn't said we aren't moving to London. Just like he never said that we are. That's just my analysis. I don't think he's getting half a billion funds to upgrade his stadium to then turn around and take it to London. I think he got everything he wanted, and now he's happy to stay because he knows that he's got Jacksonville by the Duvals. And I think that's big to him. All right, let's take a break. When we come back here in a minute, speaking of Cam Newton, had some things to say about Charlotte putting all that money into creating a brand new fan experience around the bank. We'll play that audio for you and get your reaction when we come back on the Rob Brown Show with the Fan Upstate.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So we have talked very briefly about David Tepper and the Carolina Panthers. David Tepper asking for north of $600 million for stadium renovations from the city of Charlotte. Said he's also willing to pitch in over $600 million of his own money in order to make these upgrades happen. The upgrades are extensive. We had a couple of weeks ago Will Pelagic, the voice of the Charlotte FC Soccer Club, up on the show to talk about it. He went in depth a little bit about this scenario. We have talked about it. Obviously, they include an outdoor pavilion with an outside jumbotron that would allow the Panthers and Charlotte FC to throw street parties, festivals outside during and not during games. It includes a lot of upgrades to fan accessible areas of the stadium. It also includes a number of upgrades to backstage portions of the stadium. One of the arguments that has been made in years gone by is that, and Adam Thielen said this publicly a couple of weeks ago, that Charlotte has some of the least impressive, least tantalizing of the amenities for NFL players. It said that the locker room is nowhere near state of the art. It is nowhere near the top of the list of stadiums, of places that NFL players would elect to be. Now, I think Adam Thielen is toting a company line for Dave Tepper there. But Cam Newton brought a fun new angle to the conversation. On his podcast, he was talking about the funding for the new stadium, or the renovated stadium, I should say. He was talking about the fan experience and how it would be impacted. But in this short little clip, Cam Newton talks about his numero uno concern, everything Carolina. I believe in Rob Brown. Nailed it. Nothing slipping through the cracks against this guy.
You know, every city has the admiration for winning the Super Bowl.
First off, you know how you can tell Cam Newton is really exasperated with Dave Tepper? Because he ended it with, but, dude. Which, you don't drop a, but, Dude, like, unless you are super frustrated with the situation, okay? Now, let's talk about what Cam Newton said.
I never took him as a dude guy, so I was a little surprised by that.
I think.
I took him as an expletive guy. Not dude, not bro, but, you know, something else.
I mean, he definitely is, but I also think, because so am I, all right? I'm a bad words guy. It is what it is. If words hurt you, I apologize. I will be respectful when I'm in your house, all right? When Lonzo and I are in the fortress of nerditude, I tone it down. I don't eliminate them, but I tone it down out of respect.
Which I appreciate.
When I am in somebody else's home, if they don't, then I don't, out of respect. Yeah, you catch me in a bar at 11:30 at night. No, I don't care. All right?
Yeah, I've seen your on-stage video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't care.
They're explicit.
It's 10:30 at night. We're in a bar. All right? Big boys say big words.
You and Oilers girl.
Me and Oilers. Me and Kate, baby. Me and Kate. We ride or die. So, let's break down the meat and potatoes of what Cam Newton had to say here. The meat and taters of what Cam Newton said here is you can build a mecca to football. You can make the most fan-friendly fan experience in all sports out of all time. You can build a place that Roger Goodell would say the Super Bowl is going to Charlotte every year. But if Dave Tepper does not get in step with Charlotte, it will not matter. Because if the team stinks and if Dave Tepper is out there doing a thing, if Dave Tepper is out there doing a thing like throwing drinks at fans, even though that was in Jacksonville, not in Charlotte, if Dave Tepper is out there confronting bar owners over smartcastic signs, which again, I think Dave Tepper was just trying to make nice with the small folk. He just doesn't know how to, right? If Dave Tepper can't get to a point like, I don't know, Arthur Blank has done in Atlanta. Something came out yesterday. There was a graph. Somebody put out a graph of the price of beers in different NFL stadiums. There are some beers, some stadiums where a 16-ounce beer cost you north of $20. You know what it cost you in Atlanta? $6.25. That is like $1.25 more than I pay for a 12-ounce beer at certain bars in town. Okay? And I'm happy to do so. Arthur Blank, let me tell you where Arthur Blank is. Arthur Blank is in such a good spot with Atlanta fans of both Atlanta Falcons and Atlanta United that Arthur Blank is putting himself into his own team's ring of honor this weekend, and nobody's making fun of him for it because everybody's like, yeah, sweet, dope, for sure. Get at it, son. Congrats on making a Hall of Fame that you're in charge of who gets into it, and you're putting yourself in. And I'm not even making jokes because people love the guy, and I don't get him. I don't blame him because not only has Arthur Blank done a wonderful job of making Falcons and Atlanta United games genuinely fan friendly. I can go to a Falcons game now. Granted. Welcome to the show, noted Atlanta Falcons fan Brandon Smith. Falcons games are cheap because the team has been crap for so long that you can go pick up tickets on the ground outside of the Mercedes-Benz Dome. Atlanta United tickets are cheap again because, A, it's soccer. And while I love soccer, it is still a growing sport, not a grown sport. But also because now the team stinks again. They have been actively making decisions to make their team worse. We'll talk about that later on. But as Shane just said, Atlanta United games are electric. They are. That's why they have incredible numbers coming in, even when the team's not that good. Cam Newton says, unless Dave Tepper gets in lockstep with the city of Charlotte, it doesn't matter how great the fan experience is. Nobody's going to come. And he's right. He's right. Dave Tepper, to me, is having the best offseason that he has had as the owner of the Falcons so far. You know why?
Panthers.
What did I say? Falcons?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm locked in one spot. He is having the best offseason that he has had as the owner of the Carolina Panthers. Why? Because he's doing what the fans want, which is not going out there and being a rock star and partying it up and buying drinks for them or getting $600 million to build a big party pavilion outside. No, no. Dave Tepper is having the best offseason of his career as the owner of the Carolina Panthers so far because he has shut the hell up. You don't hear him. He had the run-in with the bar, and then that's it. He got some flack. I think what happened is he was trying to, like, just be a dude, right? Go in, have a little fun, make some small talk. It went bad, so his PR folks went, Dave, there's nothing you can do. Until the team is good, just get out of the way. And it seems like it's working. Now, if the Panthers show marked improvement this year, all of a sudden that party pavilion might have people on it. And I will tell you, you know what the difference is between Kansas City that's got two states fighting over it and Charlotte that doesn't? People want to go to Chiefs games because they're good. They want to go to Royals games because they're good. Dave, if you make the team good, if you let the team be good, people will want to come and all of a sudden your $600 million is a lot easier to talk the city of Charlotte into giving you. Cam's right. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Bask in the afterglow of a Boston Celtics championship. And by that, I mean have to listen to some of the most obnoxious fans in America, Boston fans, love you, James, gloat about finally getting it done for the first time since 2008. I do have to say, I kind of really like this basketball team. The more I think about this team's run through the postseason, this team's run through the NBA Finals, the more that I really think about what this team did this year, the more I find myself kind of falling in love with the Boston Celtics. The more I kind of start to really like the attitude of this team because, you know, I go back and I think about a lot of the teams that have won in years gone by. And I don't care if you go with LeBron and the C's or the Lakers, or if you go with Steph and Draymond and the Dubs. I don't care what team you go with. This team, a team that I do think has two bona fide superstars in Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. This team, I think, great one, is it the least ego-driven team that we have seen in years gone by? The only team that I would say is even in the mix was last year's Nuggets, right? And I think that says something. Because if I go back before that, the Golden State Warriors, whether you love them or whether you hate them, were an ego-driven team. Draymond Green being the primary one. Steph Curry to some degree in the same boat. I go back and I look at the Milwaukee Bucks. Giannis Antetokounmpo, who I love. I do. I'm a big fan. Gave me one of my favorite clips that we play. That was it. That was to some degree an ego-driven team. The Lakers, the Dubs after the two-peat. They lost to Cleveland before that. They had one before that. I think you got to go back to a decade ago. The last title from the Spurs in 2014 to find the last time that I could genuinely look at a team and say that was not an ego-driven team. But I think the last 2 years, frankly, and maybe you could even argue three with the Dubs. There is, I think, a bit of an era change taking place right now around the NBA. And that era change is that you are starting to see, and I do think this is I think it's a good thing, though I do not know that it will translate to, say, television ratings. We have proven time and time and time and time and time and time again, and we're about to do it again, by the way, with golf. And I'll include that in this conversation here in just moments. We are seeing more and more frequently a reality that television ratings are driven by individual athletes, not great teams, right? Here's the golf one. The U.S. Open this weekend, Sunday, was the most watched round of a U.S. Open since 2013. Why? Bryson DeChambeau and Rory McIlroy. A large number of people tuned in to see either Rory not choke or to see Rory choke. A good number of people checked in to either watch Bryson DeChambeau win and aggravate some people or lose and overjoy some people. That's why those numbers were big. It wasn't because Pinehurst number two did anything special that other courses hadn't done. It's not because there were some different guys out there than what we're used to seeing. No, no. It was simply because we had two big personalities that were getting after it. Does it feel, even though Jason Tatum did look a little more lively than he had been in years not gone by, but did it feel great one, like when you were watching Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Kristaps Porzingis and Derek White during games? There was never a spot where it felt like the guys wearing green and white were bigger than what was happening in that moment. I didn't feel that way about Luka Doncic, for instance.
This is a hard one for me because in the NBA, I always follow a player. Mm-hmm. I never follow a team, and I don't think I'm going to change from that. And maybe that's Boston to me, and I know they just won the championship. We're like, meh. I mean, good for them. I guess maybe if you grew up in the city or maybe your dad was a Bird fan and he passed it on to you and so you're
sure.
That's your team, that type of thing. But in NBA, it's never been that for me. So to me, they're kind of boring. And I know they won, but they're still kind of boring. At least Denver has a star.
See, and I think that's kind of exactly what I'm saying here. I also have players that I follow. Jrue Holiday is one of them. Part of the reason I was enjoying the run for the Celtics is because of how big Jrue Holiday was. He's one of my favorite players. Clamps, baby. Give me a good, gritty defensive player. Obviously still follow LeBron James. Obviously still follow Steph Curry. Not only do I still follow players, but I will also acknowledge that more often than not, the players I follow are the superstars of the league. But Jason Tatum has not been a superstar of the league for a number of years. Very, very good player, no doubt. But I think he just kind of reached that level. Jaylen Brown. Here's two dudes in Brown and Tatum that C's fans have been saying for years, one of those guys has got to go. Neither one of them is going to be capable of winning with the other on the floor. But this team this year, like there was something complementary about them. Even though they are of similar size, similar height, similar build, similar games, unlike Luka and Kyrie, who never figured out how to get on the same page, as Keegan pointed out yesterday, when Kyrie is at his most effective, it's because Luka's on the bench and vice versa. Tatum and Brown figured out how to make their games work together, which says to me that they got dudes in the front office and they got coaches on the sideline who are giving them a if X, then Y set of formulas to work their games in with each other. And then they built that connection with each other that a lot of teams don't seem to have. I think a lot of the NBA still very much leans on, we need that dude. This is the conversation around the Lakers right now. This is why, unless they bring in somebody that both LeBron and Anthony Davis respect enough to listen to, the Lakers are cooked. And the Lakers are cooked because those guys can't seem to figure out how to get on the same page. LeBron James is not 28 anymore. That man is 40 damn years old, right? And because of that, LeBron wants to transition to a guy who is more of a facilitator. I have already given you my theory. I think when AD got brought to LA, the plan was for LeBron to take off the crown and to hand it to Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis don't want it. He ain't got the Duvalls to be that guy. And so LeBron James has still got to be the guy. Well, if you're asking LeBron to still be the guy, that game does not translate to what Anthony Davis provides to you as well as it would if AD was the guy and LeBron was the facilitator. Then I look to the Celtics. And this is a team that, we'll talk to Hayden Azmario in the next segment and see if he agrees with me on this. When I look at Boston and I look at the games where Jason Tatum isn't having his best game as a scorer, what happens? Jaylen Brown steps into that role. It allows Jason Tatum to step back, become the facilitator. Now he's still a threat with the basketball, even if he's not scoring, and vice versa. If Brown's shots aren't falling, Brown steps back, becomes the facilitator. Jason Tatum takes over. And if neither one of those guys are doing it, now they're running a two-guard offense, and they got Derek White and Porzingis and these other cats to make up those points because the assists come in droves for these teams. This Boston Celtics team, I said yesterday, I think there's a legacy to this team.
Let's hope not.
I think there's a legacy, and I think that legacy is going to continue next year. They are plus 280 to repeat. Plus 280. That means they are, against the entire NBA, less than 3-1 to win the title again. And I think the reason why is because they did something that so many other teams over the years have forgotten how to do. And that is how to take superstars, but make an offense that is not built around a guy, but built around the games of those guys. I'm going to tell you, I busted up Joe Mazzulla all year long. I was like, yo, this isn't Mazzulla doing anything special. This is just having a great group of players. But post this finals run, aside from the fact that we found out yesterday that Joe Mazzulla has apparently been coaching these entire playoffs with a torn meniscus in his knee.
So?
Oh, yeah, MBD. No big deal, boys.
It's
just out there on a busted wheel roaming the sideline.
Yeah, I mean, that's not as big of a deal as a player doing it. Listen, Boston, I mean, congrats to them, but the NBA does not want them to win again because they do not have a bona fide superstar. You talked about superstars, but they don't have that guy that stands out that causes people to watch.
First off.
And if people aren't going to watch, that hurts the TV. And if it hurts the TV, it hurts the product.
I would say two things. First off, I think they have two of them now.
I don't know.
I think with Tatum getting his ring and Jaylen Brown getting an MVP, I think both of those guys become more must-watch.
Do they?
But number two, here's the thing. While I do agree that the NBA pushes a superstar, they're going to push LeBron. They're going to push Steph Curry. They're going to push the superstars of the league. Anthony Edwards next year is going to get unprecedented levels of coverage. Nikola Jokic, the revenge tour of the Joker is going to be a theme next year. Yeah, I agree with that
Edwards,
entirely.
Edwards has been chosen. And here's the thing. Has anyone from the Celtics been chosen? No, because they're kind of boring, and that's not what the NBA wants.
Here's the thing. I think they are boring, except for now they're the reigning defending undisputed. Now everybody's got a target to take down Beantown. And I do think that that makes their stars in their team more interesting. But here's the thought. I agree that the NBA pushes superstars. But at the end of the day, do I think the NBA fixes series in order to promote stars? No, I don't. Because if they did, Nikola Jokic would have been sitting at home on the repeat tour.
I never said that. I said they do. I didn't say you did. Like it.
Hang on. Because I'm not saying you said that. What I am saying is I think that I'm very animated about this because this is an important conversation to me and maybe me alone. We'll find out if Mario agrees. I do not think the NBA is going to the length of even tilting series to a superstar because, again, if they did, Anthony Edwards is in the finals, not Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. If they did, I think Nikola Jokic is playing Anthony Edwards in the semis, not Luka Doncic in the Dallas Mavericks. So the league can push individual players all they want. But at the end of the day, the goal of the teams is to win titles. And I think between Denver last year and Boston this year, the theory now is you can have a superstar. You can have two superstars. But a great coach who builds an offense around that star, as happened with Brown and Tatum this year, as happened with Jokic and Murray last year when those two guys were playing so well off of each other and the offense played well around them playing off of each other. I think the secret is out now that basketball's not a 1v1v1v1v1 sport anymore. Basketball can be won and will be won by teams that are playing good team basketball. Ladies and gentlemen, coming up in the next segment, used to be our own hating ass Mario joins us here on the show to break down the NBA Finals, maybe took a brief look as to what next season looks at. And he and Lonzo both make fun of me for having the third best hair on the radio in the next segment. Now the guy who, I don't know if he has 1A or 1B, maybe they fight over who has better hair, Lonzo with a sports flesh.
All right, obviously we have the best hair in radio, but you're not number three in radio. Maybe on this show. The Stanley Cup Finals are headed back to Edmonton for Game 6. Go away. After the Oilers knock off the Panthers 5-3, Edmonton now trails 3-2 overall after winning two in a row. Connor Brown opened the scoring, followed by a power play goal from Zach Hyman and 5-on-5 by Connor McDavid. Game 6 is Friday night. The Atlanta Braves rang up a second consecutive win over the Detroit Tigers. With a 2-1 victory yesterday, rookie Spencer Schellenbach had his best pro game so far, going six innings and surrendering only three hits and one earned run while striking out seven. Tune in tomorrow afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand spanking new local show, Wire to Wire. Why tomorrow? Because Rob decided to work today or we'd be off too. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, a whole lot of fun tomorrow, Wire to Wire.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Bask in the afterglow of a Boston Celtics championship. And by that, I mean have to listen to some of the most obnoxious fans in America, Boston fans, love you, James, gloat about finally getting it done for the first time since 2008. I do have to say, I kind of really like this basketball team. The more I think about this team's run through the postseason, this team's run through the NBA Finals, the more that I really think about what this team did this year, the more I find myself kind of falling in love with the Boston Celtics. The more I kind of start to really like the attitude of this team because, you know, I go back and I think about a lot of the teams that have won in years gone by. And I don't care if you go with LeBron and the C's or the Lakers, or if you go with Steph and Draymond and the Dubs. I don't care what team you go with. This team, a team that I do think has two bona fide superstars in Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. This team, I think, great one, Is it the least ego-driven team that we have seen in years gone by? The only team that I would say is even in the mix was last year's Nuggets, right? And I think that says something. Because if I go back before that, the Golden State Warriors, whether you love them or whether you hate them, were an ego-driven team. Draymond Green being the primary one, Steph Curry to some degree in the same boat. I go back and I look at the Milwaukee Bucks. Giannis Antetokounmpo, who I love, I do, I'm a big fan, gave me one of my favorite clips that we play. That was it. That was to some degree an ego-driven team. The Lakers, the Dubs after the two-peat. They lost to Cleveland before that. They had one before that. I think you got to go back to a decade ago. The last title from the Spurs in 2014 to find the last time that I could genuinely look at a team and say that was not an ego-driven team. But I think the last 2 years, frankly, and maybe you could even argue three with the Dubs, there is, I think, a bit of an era change taking place right now around the NBA. And that era change is that you are starting to see, and I do think this is I think it's a good thing, though I do not know that it will translate to, say, television ratings. We have proven time and time and time and time and time and time again, and we're about to do it again, by the way, with golf. And I'll include that in this conversation here in just moments. We are seeing more and more frequently a reality that television ratings are driven by individual athletes, not great teams, right? Here's the golf one. The U.S. Open this weekend, Sunday, was the most watched round of a U.S. Open since 2013. Why? Bryson DeChambeau and Rory McIlroy. A large number of people tuned in to see either Rory not choke or to see Rory choke. A good number of people checked in to either watch Bryson DeChambeau win and aggravate some people or lose and overjoy some people. That's why those numbers were big. It wasn't because Pinehurst number 2 did anything special that other courses hadn't done. It's not because there were some different guys out there than what we're used to seeing. No. It was simply because we had two big personalities that were getting after it. Does it feel, even though Jason Tatum did look a little more lively than he had been in years not gone by, but did it feel great one, like when you were watching Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Kristaps Porzingis and Derek White? During games, there was never a spot where it felt like the guys wearing green and white were bigger than what was happening in that moment. I didn't feel that way about Luka Doncic, for instance.
This is a hard one for me because in the NBA, I always follow a player. Mm-hmm. I never follow a team, and I don't think I'm going to change from that. And maybe that's Boston to me, and I know they just won the championship. We're like, meh. I mean, good for them. I guess maybe if you grew up in the city, or maybe your dad was a Bird fan and he passed it on to you, and so you're
sure
that's your team, that type of thing. But in NBA, it's never been that for me. So to me, they're kind of boring. And I know they won, but they're still kind of boring. At least Denver has a star.
See, and I think that's kind of exactly what I'm saying here. I also have players that I follow. Jrue Holiday is one of them. Part of the reason I was enjoying the run for the Celtics is because of how big Jrue Holiday was. He's one of my favorite players. Clamps, baby. Give me a good, gritty defensive player. Obviously still follow LeBron James. Obviously still follow Steph Curry. Not only do I still follow players, but I will also acknowledge that more often than not, the players I follow are the superstars of the league. But Jason Tatum has not been a superstar of the league for a number of years. Very, very good player, no doubt. But I think he just kind of reached that level. Jaylen Brown. Here's two dudes in Brown and Tatum that C's fans have been saying for years, one of those guys has got to go. Neither one of them is going to be capable of winning with the other on the floor. But this team this year, like there was something complementary about them. Even though they are of similar size, similar height, similar build, similar games, unlike Luka and Kyrie, who never figured out how to get on the same page, as Keegan pointed out yesterday, when Kyrie is at his most effective, it's because Luka's on the bench and vice versa. Tatum and Brown figured out how to make their games work together, which says to me that they got dudes in the front office and they got coaches on the sideline who are giving them a if X, then Y set of formulas to work their games in with each other. And then they built that connection with each other that a lot of teams don't seem to have. I think a lot of the NBA still very much leans on, we need that dude. This is the conversation around the Lakers right now. This is why, unless they bring in somebody that both LeBron and Anthony Davis respect enough to listen to, the Lakers are cooked. And the Lakers are cooked because those guys can't seem to figure out how to get on the same page. LeBron James is not 28 anymore. That man is 40 damn years old, right? And because of that, LeBron wants to transition to a guy who is more of a facilitator. I have already given you my theory. I think when AD got brought to LA, the plan was for LeBron to take off the crown and to hand it to Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis don't want it. He ain't got the Duvalls to be that guy. And so LeBron James has still got to be the guy. Well, if you're asking LeBron to still be the guy, that game does not translate to what Anthony Davis provides to you as well as it would if AD was the guy and LeBron was the facilitator. Then I look to the Celtics. And this is a team that, we'll talk to Hayden Azmario in the next segment and see if he agrees with me on this. When I look at Boston, and I look at the games where Jason Tatum isn't having his best game as a scorer, what happens? Jaylen Brown steps into that role. It allows Jason Tatum to step back, become the facilitator. Now he's still a threat with the basketball, even if he's not scoring, and vice versa. If Brown's shots aren't falling, Brown steps back, becomes the facilitator. Jason Tatum takes over. And if neither one of those guys are doing it, now they're running a two-guard offense, and they got Derek White and Porzingis and these other cats to make up those points because the assists come in droves for these teams. This Boston Celtics team, I said yesterday, I think there's a legacy to this team.
Let's hope not.
I think there's a legacy, and I think that legacy is going to continue next year. They are plus 280 to repeat. Plus 280. That means they are, against the entire NBA, less than 3-1 to win the title again. And I think the reason why is because they did something that so many other teams over the years have forgotten how to do. And that is how to take superstars, but make an offense that is not built around a guy, but built around the games of those guys. I'm going to tell you, I busted up Joe Mazzulla all year long. I was like, yo, this isn't Mazzulla doing anything special. This is just having a great group of players. But post this finals run, aside from the fact that we found out yesterday that Joe Mazzulla has apparently been coaching these entire playoffs with a torn meniscus in his knee.
So?
Oh, yeah, MBD. No big deal, boys.
It's
just out there on a busted wheel roaming the sideline.
Yeah, I mean, that's not as big of a deal as a player doing it. Listen, Boston, I mean, congrats to them, but the NBA does not want them to win again because they do not have a bona fide superstar. You talked about superstars, but they don't have that guy that stands out that causes people to watch.
First off.
And if people aren't going to watch, that hurts the TV. And if it hurts the TV, it hurts the product.
I would say two things. First off, I think they have two of them now.
I don't know.
I think with Tatum getting his ring and Jaylen Brown getting an MVP, I think both of those guys become more must-watch.
Do they?
But number two, here's the thing. While I do agree that the NBA pushes a superstar. They're going to push LeBron. They're going to push Steph Curry. They're going to push the superstars of the league. Anthony Edwards next year is going to get unprecedented levels of coverage. Nikola Jokic, the revenge tour of the Joker is going to be a theme next year. I agree with that
Edwards,
entirely.
Edwards has been chosen. And here's the thing. Has anyone from the Celtics been chosen? No, because they're kind of boring, and that's not what the NBA wants.
Here's the thing. I think they are boring, except for now they're the reigning defending undisputed. Now everybody's got a target to take down Beantown. And I do think that that makes their stars in their team more interesting. But here's the thought. I agree that the NBA pushes superstars. But at the end of the day, do I think the NBA fixes series in order to promote stars? No, I don't. Because if they did, Nikola Jokic would have been sitting at home on the repeat tour.
I never said that. I said they, do, I didn't they say don't you did. Like it.
Hang on, because I'm not saying you said that. What I am saying is I think that I'm very animated about this because this is an important conversation to me and maybe me alone. We'll find out if Mario agrees. I do not think the NBA is going to the length of even tilting series to a superstar because, again, if they did, Anthony Edwards is in the finals, not Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. If they did, I think Nikola Jokic is playing Anthony Edwards in the semis, not Luka Doncic in the Dallas Mavericks. So the league can push individual players all they want. But at the end of the day, the goal of the teams is to win titles. And I think between Denver last year and Boston this year, the theory now is you can have a superstar. You can have two superstars. But a great coach who builds an offense around that star, as happened with Brown and Tatum this year, as happened with Jokic and Murray last year when those two guys were playing so well off of each other and the offense played well around them playing off of each other, I think the secret is out now that basketball's not a 1v1v1v1v1 sport anymore. Basketball can be won and will be won by teams that are playing good team basketball. Ladies and gentlemen, coming up in the next segment, our own hating, used to be our own hating ass Mario, joins us here on the show to break down the NBA Finals, maybe took a brief look as to what next season looks at. And he and Lonzo both make fun of me for having the third best hair on the radio in the next segment. Now the guy who, I don't know if he has 1A or 1B, maybe they fight over who has better hair, Lonzo with a sports flesh.
All right, obviously we have the best hair in radio, but you're not number three in radio. Maybe on this show. The Stanley Cup Finals are headed back to Edmonton for Game 6. Go away. After the Oilers knock off the Panthers 5-3, Edmonton now trails 3-2 overall after winning two in a row. Connor Brown opened the scoring, followed by a power play goal from Zach Hyman and a 5-on-5 by Connor McDavid. Game 6 is Friday night. The Atlanta Braves rang up a second consecutive win over the Detroit Tigers. With a 2-1 victory yesterday, rookie Spencer Schellenbach had his best pro game so far, going 6 innings and surrendering only 3 hits and 1 earned run while striking out 7. Tune in tomorrow afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand spanking new local show, Wire to Wire. Why tomorrow? Because Rob decided to work today or we'd be off too. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, a whole lot of fun tomorrow, Wire to Wire.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.